No, we had started into chapter 4 of Ephesians. In this chapter, let's just look at the first three verses. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We did cover last time this thought of walking, and we looked at several different things that are said about walking. And the summary, of course, was all of them are in love. If we walk in love, then we are walking in the Spirit. Okay, and Paul says that in as many words when he says, love is the fulfillment of the law. It works no ill to its neighbor. Just to go back and review briefly, that phrase, walk worthy, those two words, the word walk is number 4043 in the Strong's Greek. It means how we conduct ourselves or how we live is basically the meaning of the word there. It's the literal translation for those of you that have seen that movie Australia. It means to walk about. So that's the thought of this word walk here. It means to walk about. And then the word worthy is number 516 in the Greek, and it simply means appropriately or worthily. And we're to walk, again, in love. And I think the best way to sum that up or to think of it in another sense is simply to let Christ live out in us.
Yes.
God is love. So if it's Him living in us and allowed to show forth as we walk about, then we are where we need to be. Okay, we are walking in love. And remember that we started out this study with the idea that it's about the heavenlies, where we are and where we eventually will be in reality. So if we're really seated in the heavenly places and living there, why shouldn't we walk as though we're already there? Okay, as heavenly ones, heavenly creatures. And then we looked at, in the first verse, that word vocation. It's number 821. It's the Greek word klesis. And it very rarely in the New Testament carries the thought of the modern definition of the word vocation. When we think of vocation today, we think of what you do for a living, or what maybe what you went to school for and what your skill did. Okay, there are a very few instances where the Greek word means that, but by and large, when you see the word klesis, and you will see it quite a few times, it actually means an invitation to some sort of event. And so in respect to what we're thinking of here, you and I have been invited to something. Yes, we are invited to an event. Okay, it's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. But interestingly enough, and this is just the way the Lord does this, that modern definition of the word vocation, i.e. a calling, if you will, to something, also applies. One dictionary definition of the word vocation is, if you use it as a noun, it's a strong feeling of suitability for a particular career or occupation. And we have indeed been called not just to an event, but to a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's called marriage. Okay? So that's how wonderful the Holy Ghost works these things. This klesis here, this invitation to something, is an invitation to an event, which is simply the start of the invitation to a relationship, which will last forever. So very wonderful that is. Then, if we look at what Paul says here, he beseeches us that we would walk worthy of that calling. Our worthiness to this calling will be found and shown in our heart attitudes towards one another. Okay? Notice here, if you think of, let's see, in verse 2, he says, with all lowliness. That word all, you'll find it very frequently. It's number 3956, and it means totally, every, and all kind, all possible, whole, thoroughly, always, or all manner of. Okay, that's quite a few. And, of course, lowliness is simply humility or lowliness of mind. And this makes us think immediately of the mind of Christ that Paul talks about in Philippians 2. Okay, that mind that puts others first. Okay, that's willing to wait on others, if you will. Interestingly, let's see, meekness here in verse 2 is number 4236. It's interesting, the definition of that word meekness. It does not primarily denote an outward expression of feeling, but rather an inward grace of the soul, with calmness towards God in particular. So again, if you want to think of it this way, we can boil that definition down to meekness is not an act that we put on. It's one of the, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So it's something within us, Christ in us, will manifest again as we get out of the way and let Jesus live in us. Okay? Grow up in us. They go on with this definition of meekness to say it is the acceptance of God's dealings with us, considering them to be good, in that they enhance the closeness of our relationship with Him. Now there's one to chew on. You mean everything that happens, Lord, is meant to enhance my closeness and my relationship with You? Even that car accident I had yesterday? Okay. Long-suffering, the next one there in verse 2, is number 3115. It means forbearance or patience in respect to persons. And it's funny how so many times the things that the Lord encourages us in and the things that we are equipped for is not about my trials with my machine at work. It's not about the trials I had with my car not starting yesterday. Those will be there. But as I've said before, the vast majority of the things we are encouraged in and challenged with are with other people. Yeah. Okay, so bear that in mind too. So patience and respect to others, and it's associated with mercy. Where we heard about mercy recently, okay? Then the word forbearing is number 430. It literally means to have within. Okay? In other words, to bear with or have patience with the errors or weaknesses of another. Okay? So, Joe, I expect you to have patience with me. The reverse it doesn't have to be true, but I expect you to bear with me. Isn't that how we are? You know, yeah, we want mercy and understanding and patience, but let's let the Lord exhibit it in us too. Somebody go to Matthew 3. And someone else to Romans 13, and someone else to 1 Corinthians 13. This word that gets translated forbearing, it's interesting. I said that to bear, it means to bear with or have patience with the errors or weaknesses of another. Interestingly, in Matthew 3:15, whoever's there, read that verse.
And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him.
Okay. And of course, this was where the Lord came to John to be baptized, and John said, wait a minute, I have need to be baptized of you. You've got this backwards. And the Lord said, suffer it to be so. Well, that word suffer there is this word that gets translated forbearing here. In other words, humor me, John. Okay. Let's do this. You may not understand, but just bear with me and let's do it this way. And then, as you notice in verse 2, most importantly of all these terms, we are to forbear one another in love. And in Romans 13, whoever's there, verse 10.
Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, whoever's there, the first 8 verses.
Why speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass, or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whenever there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
Okay. And I think it was you, Ty, this morning that brought out that word endure. Okay, it says it endures all things. And I don't remember quite what definition you had for that word endure, but I got to looking it up, and it's a compound word. And it literally means to remain under. Mm-hmm. Whatever the Lord has put you under, yeah, whether it's a tremendous blessing or Bob's thumb, remain there,
yes,
until the Lord directs otherwise. Yeah. Remain under. Okay?
It's okay, Debbie.
You can do it. Oh my. Okay. Yes, indeed. Oh boy. Oh, before I forget, this is completely to the side.
So is that.
All right.
It's a rough crowd.
For reasons that I won't go into right now, when I'm out on the road, I pay a lot of attention to license plate numbers, okay? And every now and then you see what the state refers to as a vanity plate. It's a custom plate that somebody's had made up. And it's always fun to try and figure out what the people were trying to say. Yeah. So this last week, I'm headed to work, and a very nice, clean, bright electric blue Corvette blasts past me on the highway. And his license plate said...
Hi, officer.
It took me upwards of 30 or 35 minutes to figure that one out. I wasn't going to let it go. Okay. Now, going back up to verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Let's have somebody go to 2 Timothy 4. And in this verse here, Paul beseeches us to walk after this manner. That word beseech is number 3870. And it's the Greek word parakaleo. And it means to call upon someone to do something to urgently entreat for a purpose. Now, whoever's in 2 Timothy 4, read verse 9.
Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me.
And verse 21.
Do thy diligence to come before winter. What is that? Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren.
Okay. Now, what she just read there in 2 Timothy 4 was Paul writing to Timothy, and he was urgently entreating him to come as quickly as he could. That's an example of this word beseech. Okay. I hope that you noticed the similarity of that word to number 3875, which is parakletos, which gets translated four times in the New Testament as comforter, referring to the Holy Ghost, and one time as advocate. So here, through Paul, the Lord is urging us with the same degree of importance as our need of the Holy Ghost. He's urging us to walk in love towards one another. So however important you think being filled with the Holy Ghost is, and I hope it's real high on your list, that same degree of entreaty is being used by Paul here to walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. He's urging us with that same intensity. This is how we are to walk. How we are, if you remember that word walk from a moment ago, how we are to conduct ourselves and live our lives towards one another. Look at verse 2. Let's see, where did I see that? Well, you can look at verse 2 in chapter 5. We'll get to that, but Paul emphasizes it there again. He says, walk in love. But we are to walk. He says in verse 2 here also, forbearing one another. Not forbearing your car or your job or your boss, or that family member that drives you crazy, forbearing the saints. Okay? Forbearing our fellow saints. Okay. Then he says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And in this, we are admonished to have an earnestness and a diligence in watching over the oneness of the Spirit among ourselves. Now, this word endeavoring here means to maintain or to withhold for personal ends. In other words, to stay unmarried.
To stay how?
To stay unmarried.
Fine.
Endeavoring. Okay. And this is all towards maintaining the oneness of the Spirit among ourselves. The word bond here is number 4886, and it means a band or a bond. Figuratively, it talks about a tendon or a ligament. Where have we heard that before? Okay, talking about how all the joints of the body are to support and supply one another. Somebody go to Colossians 2. And whoever gets there, read verse 19 for us.
And not holding the head, in which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increases with the increase of God.
Okay. So we have the bond of peace here, that tendon, that ligament that holds us, one of those things that holds us together. Now, the oneness of the Spirit is defined by seven things in the next couple of verses, 4 through 6. And it is a sevenfold oneness. And if somebody will go to Revelation 3, we'll see that this sevenfold oneness is just like the description of the Holy Ghost himself. Whoever's in Revelation 3, verse 1.
Mm-hmm. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead.
And then in chapter 4, Carolyn, verse 5.
And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God.
And then in chapter 5, verse 6.
Mm-hmm. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven eyes and having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth.
Okay. Now let's look at this oneness. Starting in verse 4, he says there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Mm-hmm. Now this, the keeping of this oneness of the Spirit must start first within each of us. Mm-hmm. All right, this is not something we do externally as a group. It doesn't come from outside. It has to start within. Individually. That is, we must each first be individually assured, convinced, and settled in the truth of each of these ones. And that can only come by our adhering to Paul's admonition to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, if somebody will go there. Someone have it?
Mm-hmm. So you show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay? So I need to be convinced and settled of these seven things within myself before I can hope to cherish any sort of unity with you. Mm-hmm. All right? Faith only comes and grows one way. And Paul tells us that. Okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let's have somebody go to 1 Corinthians 12, someone back to chapter 1 here in Ephesians, someone to Colossians 1, and someone to 1 Corinthians 1. Now, the first of these ones is one body of believers. That body is called Christ's body, and it's called the church. Okay? Where was in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14?
For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many.
Okay. Ephesians 1, whoever's there, verses 22 and 23.
And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Okay. Colossians 1, whoever's there, verse 18.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Then verse 24, Hagen.
Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church.
And then in chapter 3, verse 15.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Okay. So, this body is composed of all and every believer. Doesn't matter where they are or what they have been taught or may believe, whether right or wrong. If they're born again, they are members of this body. Okay? This
in,
one body.
In this age, though, right?
Yes.
Not in all ages.
No.
Okay. Well.
The body of Christ. Yeah. The church.
Yeah.
The church. Let's have somebody go to Romans 14. Chrisette, was that you that read 1 Corinthians 12?
Yes.
Okay. Go back there and stay there for a second. 1 Corinthians 1, whoever's there, verse 13.
In Christ, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
Now, Paul asks a question in this verse. Mm-hmm. Is Christ divided? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer, I hope we know, is no. But, going back to the fact that all of this must be accepted and understood in me first, do I make a division of some sort in my own heart? Whoever's in Romans 14, read the first 13 verses for us.
Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to double disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Mm-hmm. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died, and rose, and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but just judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way.
Amen. Okay. Two things to notice there. First of all, Paul says we're all going to give an account of ourselves to the Lord over this issue. When do you suppose that's going to happen?
Now.
The judge is on the seat now. Okay? He is evaluating for reward. All right? The other thing to take away from that portion, let's go back there for a moment. The other thing to notice there is that phrase in verse 10, set it not. Ty talked about that this morning. You don't have to despise your brother or sister in the Lord to set them at naught. All you have to do is think of them as less than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Remember where Paul said, esteeming others better than ourselves? If we don't hold that hard attitude, we are setting at naught that brother or that sister. Okay? All right, 1 Corinthians 12, precept again, verse 13.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Okay, and then verses 15 through 26.
If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it.
A good portion to study and meditate on. Yeah. And this isn't in my notes, but if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 27, Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper. And he says, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. What is it that he's not discerning about the Lord's body?
It's one body.
It's one.
Amen.
It's one.
Amen.
For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Okay? So, So we want to remember that we are one.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where the Lord has placed us in the body. And rest assured, He has placed every one of us. Just because somebody doesn't have or doesn't appear to have anything to do that benefits you or appears not to benefit anybody else doesn't mean they don't have a place.
Right, right.
They've been put there by the Lord. Mm-hmm. And to their master they answer, not to you or I. Okay? And on top of all that, we're supposed to love one another. Okay? And in that love, we're going to be praying for one another. I don't have a clue why brother so-and-so is even here. That doesn't matter. He is my brother, and therefore he's just as valuable a member of the body as me or anybody else.
Amen.
Just as worthy of my affection, my attention, and my prayer as anybody else.
Amen.
Okay? All right.
I'll do everybody a favor. I'll be the foot. The stinky one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bad. Yeah. That's like saying, what if everybody was the armpit, you know?
Everybody has to do it.
But He has put us in the body, not we get to choose.
Right. Amen.
Sure. And, you know, the flip side of the coin is, wherever He's put us in the body, let's rejoice in that.
Amen.
Anybody in here want to take my place?
No.
Want to take Ty's place?
No.
Well, of course you don't. Of course you don't. Because that's not where the Lord has you. I'm not here because I wanted to be here.
Right.
I was appointed.
Amen.
Just like Moses was appointed.
Amen.
Okay? Just like, go through the whole book from cover to cover. God chooses.
Amen.
And as a matter of fact, Paul brings that out. I think it's in Hebrews, Ty. Mm-hmm. No man appoints himself to a position. Mm-hmm. God appoints him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If they aren't appointed by the Lord, they're out of order.
Right.
And He will take care of that.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So, going back to that portion in 1 Corinthians, let's realize that just because Debbie isn't an eye or a mouth like me, that doesn't mean she's any less valuable.
Right. Amen.
Paul said the less comely parts are given more honor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? And one way that you can know that is that the parts that don't have a big mouth or don't have to stand up in front of people are the ones that are praying. Okay? And if you don't understand or see or accept that prayer is every bit as important as being able to stand up here and yield to whatever the Lord has, you need to go think about that some. Okay? So, all right.
Scott.
Yes.
You mentioned that it starts inside, this oneness. And this can't, I never appreciated this, what Paul said. Maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to read verse 29. It says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church." And I was just thinking when he said, you know, like, how he used that illustration, husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. And that fact that no man, no human ever hated their own body, but they nurtured it and cherished it. And it said, so are husbands to love their wives. Now that's an illustration of, when you mention about the body, and I never had thought about it. I've thought about it a whole lot, but it's good, you know. And you said it, that this oneness has to start individually.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, and like that illustration of between a husband and a wife, and how he's admonishing the love,
mm-hmm.
and how Christ loved his church. his body.
Well, let's think about the body again as Paul described it there with hands and feet and eyes. Is there anybody in here whose body does not take care of themselves? Sean, come up here and put your hand on this desk and let me smash it. What's going to happen? What's he going to do? His body is going to take care of itself. It's going to care for itself. If something in that body needs to go to the hospital, it's going. Whatever it is, that body's going to take care of itself. It doesn't hesitate. Okay? How many in here have ever slipped on the ice and landed on their head or their back?
Oh, yeah.
You don't waste any time doing something about it, do you? It hurts. Okay?
Praise you, Jesus.
How many in here brush their teeth? Okay, wait. Never mind. I can't ask the opposite, so never mind. Why do you brush your teeth? Well, first of all, for my benefit, obviously. Why do you brush your teeth?
Protect the teeth. Take care of the teeth.
You're trying to take care of them.
Yes.
Okay? So that brain and that hand gets the toothpaste right. out and does its job.
Take care.
It's taking care of the body. This body should be no different. The body of Christ.
Wow.
It takes care of itself. And it doesn't hesitate. It doesn't wait. Okay? If there's an injury, for instance, it takes care of itself. If there's a hunger or a thirst, it takes care of itself. That's the degree of care that should be there. Mm-hmm. And it's not something... How many in here have to force themselves to brush their teeth or get a Band-Aid out when you have a cut or something? It's automatic. You know it needs to be done. Yeah, and you do it because you love this body.
Wow.
It's the only one you got. So you take care of it, right? Yeah. Well, this body is the only one we've got. All right? And if we're members of it, which we are, we want to take care of it. All right? There should be an, I hate to use that word automatic, but there should be an automatic response. And what is the basis of that automatic response?
Love.
Love. Love. Okay, Carolyn?
This is not changing the subject, but yet it is. Hope is something that we have in Jesus that keeps these things going. But when you lose hope, I've seen people lose hope and there's no caring about body or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Totally out of hope.
Yep.
And that's a horrible, horrible thing.
Well, sure it is.
It is.
Sure it is. To see somebody give up?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Paul talks about that, encouraging and admonishing one another. And even if you can't, even if you're not in a place where you can encourage and admonish that person because of the location or something else, you can certainly pray for them.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. The hardest thing is to hold them in your arms.
The hardest thing what?
To hold them in your arms. It tears your heart open. It's just...
Yep.
Oh, man. It's terrible.
Scott.
Yep. Have that fervent love.
Fervent.
For one another. Burning love.
Stay with it.
Okay. See you now.
And that's why we feed as spiritual, because that also, we feed others when we feed ourselves.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's right.
How long would I be able to continue going to work and providing for my family if I didn't eat?
Take care of yourself.
See? So certainly, we feed ourselves first.
You do nourish. You nourish the body.
Yep.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You take care of it. Unlike me, you probably feed it good things like vegetables and stuff. Not junk food. But, yes, we care for our natural bodies. That's what Paul is saying there. the hand and the foot and the eye, they all watch out for the, for one another. And when one part hurts, the whole body hurts. Okay? If you don't believe me, come up here and let me smash your finger. Okay? So that's how Christ's body is. We are members one of another.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. The second of these sevens is one spirit there in verse 4. One Holy Spirit. And let's have somebody go to 1 Corinthians 12 for a sec. The greatest potential point of division here are the questions that come up regarding the infilling of the Holy Ghost, such as, are you filled when you get saved? Do you have to be filled to have God's best? Can a person be filled without speaking in tongues? Etc., 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 ad nauseum. All right? What's the cure for that? Study to show yourself approved. It goes back to being in love with this. Verse 13, Chrisette.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
Okay, we were baptized into, and we all drink from the same Spirit. All right? And that Spirit produces ninefold fruit, the first of which is
love.
Love. You can't get away from that. All right?
Scott, excuse me. Is there any way that you may know why didn't they just put love instead of charity?
Charity was the old English that the King James translators chose to use because it was the outpouring, the outworking of love. Okay? And the Holy Ghost may have guided them to do that in view of what James says about if you see your brother and he's cold, don't say, Lord bless you, brother, go your way, and don't give him any food or clothes to get warm. That's hypocrisy, okay, of the worst kind. So in using the word charity, the thought is the idea of not just, and is it James that speaks of that also? Don't be a doer in word only, but actually loving by doing something, okay? But it was a choice that the King James translators made, and again, I'm sure, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, okay? But again, you see, it's all one Spirit, and that Spirit is not going to lead, teach, inspire Joe differently than he is you. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. It's all one Spirit. So everything is going to be the same. All right? We are out of time for tonight, so Lord willing, Ty, are we cleared to land next Sunday evening?
Yes.